Hello and welcome. You're watching our continuing special episodes of Buck Stops here from Ground Zero in the Kashmir Valley, which continues to be a volatile valley. People had hoped that the cycle of violence would break after Independence Day, but Independence Day itself was marked by militant violence in the morning and by civilian deaths in the evening. Over the next 60 minutes, from the ground, from Kashmir to Bangalore, we'll be looking at the entire new sedition debate around the Kashmir Valley, where for the 39th day consecutively, the valley continues to be in lockdown, under curfew, and plagued by a relentless cycle of violence. Let's start with these heartbreaking images of a young commanding officer of the paramilitary forces, Commandant Pramod Kumar, being bid farewell in his hometown, in his home village of Jharkhand, who died fighting from the front in the militant strike in downtown Srinagar. He was only 40 and he was slain. He fell just 1 hour after he unfurled the Indian flag. But even as the paramilitary mourns their own, a hero who was killed, martyred in that militant strike in downtown Srinagar, here on the ground in the Kashmir Valley, this day has been a grim day. It has brought home 6 more civilian deaths in the last 24 hours. Several of those deaths, 4 of them at least, took place in the Budgam district that adjoins Srinagar, an area into which we travelled, an area in which the paramilitary forces say they were compelled to fire at a crowd of protesters that ran into the hundreds. Protesters, they say, attacked them with petrol bombs and stones. The people we met, however, along the way to the area of Magam in Budgam, where these civilian deaths took place, say that there was excessive force used against them. Like we've been asking, who is going to break this cycle of violence? 6 more civilian deaths in the last 24 hours. Now, all of this on the ground in Kashmir, which, as we said, is looking at its 39th day of curfew, unrest, continued violence and lockdown. But far, far, far away in Karnataka, in Bangalore, there is another kind of debate. A conference organized on Jammu and Kashmir and alleged human rights violations by the international NGO Amnesty International is now at the center of a controversy. Amnesty International has been booked for sedition. This after pro-Azadi slogans were raised at the rally. It's the BJP student wing, the ABVP, that has filed the FIR. Some local BJP leaders, including a member of parliament, are demanding the arrest of those who head Amnesty International, who is maintaining that they have done absolutely nothing wrong except to have a conversation around Jammu and Kashmir. Over the next 60 minutes, as we look at the Kashmir sedition debate, perhaps the irony to reflect on is this. Do slogans really matter when lives are being lost? Because here in the valley, where we come back again and again to report from Ground Zero, we can tell you this: on both sides of the ideological trenches, on both sides of these pitched battle lines, among the security forces, among the protesters, this is a matter of life and death. And so we have to really ask ourselves, how are we going to resolve Jammu and Kashmir if what we're busy expending our energy on is slogans? Before we get to that debate, let's bring you our report from Ground Zero. The Buck Stops Here team traveled towards Budgam, where the fresh civilian deaths have taken place. Our journey will give you a sense also of how difficult it is to report this story. We were either stopped by protesters who were armed with stones, and on the other hand, we were stopped by security forces who allowed us to go no further. We eventually got pictures out of the village, impacted village, from local residents. But this also tells you how the media too itself has become a target in telling the complete Kashmir story. The tell-all signs of tension are everywhere. Burnt tires, shards of broken glass, used tear gas shells, and roads blocked either by angry protesters or anxious police. As news filters in of fresh civilian deaths in the Budgam district that adjoins Srinagar, Our car inches past men like this one, face hidden by a handkerchief, demanding to know where we are headed. We are told the road ahead may not be absolutely safe for travel. Protesters armed with stones could also stop cars. Angers with section of the more jingoistic national media has made all journalists reporting the Kashmir story vulnerable. At one point, our drivers, local Kashmiris, refused to travel with us any further. They say the situation ahead is too volatile. Suddenly, the till now lifeless curfew-draped road comes alive with angry residents shouting pro-Azadi slogans. As they surround us, we negotiate with two young men to take us ahead on their motorcycles to the village of Aripathal, at least 15 kilometers away. As we clamber on, we are advised to lie low and keep our cameras and our faces hidden whenever we can. For the next 10 kilometers, we speed our way past empty streets, curious onlookers, and makeshift barricades of bricks and boulders manned by local villagers. The young men at the wheel of the motorcycle and scooter tell us if someone stops us, we should let them do the talking. As we drive past the idyllic rice fields, their pastoral beauty in ironic contrast to the palpable conflict on the ground, in large stretches, we are the only people here. The emptiness is broken occasionally by armored police vehicles and ambulances. Finally, when we are just 3 kilometers short of the village, we're ordered to halt by the security forces. There are firm orders not to let anyone proceed beyond this point. We have been stopped about 3 kilometers from the interior village of Aripathal in Badgam district, the latest flashpoint for violence. The tension in the air is palpable. This after 4 civilian deaths in fresh firing from security forces after clashes between protesters and forces. We're also hearing reports of several other people injured. Now, the difficulty of getting here, the difficulty of telling this story, in a sense, underlines just how volatile the situation is. On both sides of the trenches, people are on edge. And as I said, the tension in the air is palpable. Even getting here was an ordeal. And it underlines, it really does underline and bring home, as we look at now 39 days of continued lockdown and curfew in the Kashmir Valley, how things continue to be very much on the edge. Stung by a militant strike on its men just yesterday, in which the CRPF lost a young commanding officer, Commandant Pramod Kumar, the CRPF argues it was compelled to open fire today, after 60 of its soldiers were outflanked by protesters in their hundreds who blocked the deployment of their men.
In between Magam and Birwa, there's a place, Aripanthan. Just nearby that, when the company was crossing that area, the road was blocked by boulders and logs. So all the vehicles stopped. The boys, when they started removing those logs and the boulders, suddenly there was a mob from both the sides and started pelting stones. Initially, what the drivers did, they started reversing the vehicles, but from the back again mob came, approximately say 700 plus from all the sides, and because of this heavy stone pelting, so the boys, they used all the rotary equipment, like they initially fired the tear gas. They fired a number of long-range shells as well as short-range. They fired plastic pellets as well, these stun grenades and all. Then, when the whole crowd was almost overpowering them, they used pellet. Few of the boys, they were literally lynched. And the weapons were being snatched, our boys. And the move was very violent. I've heard patrol bombs also. And at that time, means the troops were not left with any other option but to open fire. Initially, they fired blank rounds, and that too, the other rounds also in air. It was the aerial firing. But when the mob this violent mob, they started burning the vehicle and lynching, even the company commander being lynched. And they were about to snatch their weapons, then they had to open fire just to safeguard themselves. 22 of our men, they got injured, 5 of them grievous hurt. And just because of this situation, we are not able to provide them proper medical aid also. We are not able to evacuate them.
The CRPF says they were attacked by petrol bombs as well, and 22 of their men have been injured. They say they have not been able to evacuate the wounded from the area to give them medical relief. But the former chief minister of the state, Omar Abdullah, who also happens to be the local MLA of this area, says he's not convinced. He says someone must answer why an area that did not erupt for 39 days of unrest has suddenly done so today.
The first question that naturally springs to mind is why today? Today is the 39th day, 38th or 39th day after Burhan Wani's death. For all of these days, this area has not given you trouble. Something has happened in the last 24 hours that has caused these people to come out and protest in the numbers that they have done. Now, I am willing to accept that there were large crowds, but what triggered that crowd? Now, I'm hearing things from my constituency that I'm not going to repeat here because they're not verified. But I'm suggesting that within the last 24 hours, and particularly yesterday evening, there were developments in that area linked to what happened in Srinagar yesterday that gave rise to the protests today. Now, I'm not getting into specifics because it's not verified. If you can verify it, please go on air with it. But obviously something has happened that has caused these people to come out, because otherwise in the last 38 days, yes, there have been protests in Birwa as there have been protests in other parts of the valley, but they haven't been to the extent where you've had to use force like this. I think it is extremely unfortunate that areas that have been relatively calm are now being dragged into these protests because of our own action.
The National Conference is now mobilizing opposition parties in the state and say they may appeal to President Pranab Mukherjee to intervene. You went on Twitter to basically question what the Prime Minister had said about Balochistan at the Red Fort, and you said with 6 protesters dead in the last 24 hours, it's clear that we can't even manage our own house in order, so why are we talking about Balochistan? Why are you linking the two?
Look, because Government of India is linking it. Government of India has drawn the linkage to POK and Balochistan. Balochistan found mention and POK found mention in the all-party meeting that was called to discuss Jammu and Kashmir. Look, the fact is that our own house is on fire. Now, rather than putting the fire out in our house, we're more interested in setting our neighbor's house on fire. How does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me.
As the day ends, the first pictures of the village of Aripathal emerge from its local residents. The women in mourning, but through their grief, demanding justice for those dead in the firing. Massive protests have broken out again in the area as the men in the village come out in large numbers for the funeral processions. Angry slogans are raised, bringing home the grim reality of the volatile valley and the difficulty of breaking a relentless cycle of violence. In Kashmir, with Manoj Thakur, Manu Nair, Nazir Masoodi and Ruby Dhingra, Barkha Dutt for NDTV. All right, so from here in Kashmir, when we look at what's happening far away in Bangalore, when we see the controversy around pro-Azadi slogans raised at a seminar organized by Amnesty International, which has now been booked for sedition, we have to ask ourselves, are we really expending energy on the right issue? Instead of debating whether slogans can hurt the idea of India, shouldn't we be transferring that energy to what's happening here, where a relentless cycle of violence is claiming lives every day, as I said, on both sides of the trenches, among security forces? We've seen a militant strike yesterday, and we have seen 6 civilian deaths in the last 24 hours. Instead, we are busy debating sedition. Sedition that was booked, a charge booked against Amnesty International on the watch of a Congress-led government in Karnataka on a complaint filed by the BJP's student wing, the ABVP. How disconnected does this make us from the reality of Jammu and Kashmir? And does this sedition debate and this charge against Amnesty International even matter in the light of the crisis in Kashmir? Let's introduce our panel. Nalin Kohli of the BJP is with us. Abhishek Singhvi of the Congress is with us. Rinda Grover, who's of course a senior advocate in the Supreme Court and a well-known human rights activist herself, is with us. Biraj Patnaik, who's on the board of Amnesty International, the NGO that finds itself at the center of the storm, is with us as well. Sushil Pandit, Kashmiri Pandit in exile, also a commentator, is with us. Vikram Sampath, who's our voice from Bangalore tonight, a well-known author and commentator himself, is also with us. And finally, Shehla Rashid, a Kashmiri herself, and also a JNU student leader who knows a thing or two about how slogans can get you into trouble. But my question is, Nalin Kohli, how do these slogans matter? Well, I'm sitting in Srinagar, and I can tell you, just to complete my question, that if you want to file sedition charges against everybody who shouts Azadi, you'll have to lock up half the Kashmir Valley today.
Well, there's a presumption. If you were there, you might have probably had a better detail. I was not there, you were not there, others are not there. There's an FIR. On that FIR, it's a first information report as anything. It's not the gospel truth. It'll lead to some kind of charge sheet if there is any fact to it. If there is a charge sheet, it has to be backed by evidence. So, I mean, I think there's a presumption that the minute it comes in, that everything is wrong. Now, you raised two important questions. Now, why are we expending so much energy? And the second you said about how disconnected it can be. Perhaps you are trying to connect them.
Yeah.
You're trying to connect it, so therefore you are finding it disconnected. A lot of things happen in the world we are sitting in. They all need not be necessarily connected in the manner that we would like to see it. And the second part to it is, in terms of how are we seeing, why are we not putting energy to finding solutions? There's a presumption that nothing is being done and nobody wants to do anything. Certainly, you need to understand that the problem anywhere, and a problem as complicated as Jammu and Kashmir and the Kashmir Valley, what we are seeing now, is not a problem that started yesterday morning and it didn't start out of a function that Amnesty wanted to do. It's a problem that has a historical
Nalin,
legacy.
Saying,
it's not been solved. People are
Nalin,
looking at
saying,
it. Various solutions are there. Something, nobody wants it to continue in this manner. The all-party meet, everyone is expressing their concern. Everyone is concerned and everyone wants something to become better there. So when we try to connect these dots, perhaps you may believe that no, these are not the solutions. I don't look at it like that.
But Nalin, briefly before I go to Abhishek, the reason I connect it is because this was a rally on Jammu and Kashmir, I beg your pardon, a seminar on Jammu and Kashmir. It was talking in the context of human rights violations, and then pro-Azadi slogans are raised, for which Amnesty International finds itself booked for sedition.
Okay.
I am saying to you today that there's much more than sloganeering in terms of a separatist sentiment on the ground. It needs politics. It needs politics and a political solution, not India debating over slogans and sedition.
Well, I mean, Barkha, we could take the debate another way. I could quote the Economist. I mean, Amnesty also at one point was associated with the Cage Found with some organization called Cage, which considered Jihadi John, who just I believe has been killed a few months ago, as a lamb, as a very elegant version of this. So I mean, it's okay. Amnesty as an organization, whether they do something right, wrong, they've done some good work. Maybe all of it cannot be considered to be the best. Geeta Saigal episode is there. Now they will they officially say we don't want to, we perhaps won't sign a petition with Cage. So there are different facets to everything. I think the minute you start putting them all in the cauldron and try to find one answer, confusion comes. With regard to sloganeering and Azadi and sedition, the law is specific on it.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court is on it. The legal aspects will be put up in the courts of law if they go to the courts of law and what happens in the courts of law. But in India, as far as freedom of expression of speech is there, there are. Ma'am, let me finish, then I'm sure you may have something to say. As far as freedom of expression and speech is there, there are reasonable restrictions. So the Supreme Court hasn't held sedition unconstitutional so far.
No, you know what? It's not that simple.
Okay, now I just... Shaila, just half a second. I just wanted to say legally we know that the Supreme Court actually says that that words in themselves are not seditious. There actually has to be an incitement to violence. But I'm just saying, Nalin says you can't connect the ground situation in Kashmir with this fuss over amnesty in Bangalore. I just want to get Abhishek Singhvi on that. Even as PTI is reporting that the Home Ministry is now probing or announced a probe against Amnesty International for possible CRA violations. But Abhishek, this happened in a Congress-led government, so you really can't complain about the BJP.
Look, chest thumping, pressure tactics, registering an FIR, the law will take its own course. I mean, that's something which we don't have to really interfere with. If there is something, they will look into it. But I'm very concerned, Barkha. There are three or four issues which have been completely missed out. First and foremost, I think it's very important to realize what a cherished ideal free speech is. Secondly, nobody seems to understand what sedition is. Something which is punishable by life imprisonment. You can't have a knee-jerk reaction, trigger happy, on subjectivity. Judgment after judgment of the Supreme Court, from 1962 onwards, Kedarnath Singh, 1985 Balwant Singh, 1997 Bilal Kalu.
Your government.
They've held that there must be a overt act. No, they've registered an FIR. FIR registration is nothing. It may not be converted into a charge sheet at all. It may be dropped. It's only a first information report. They have to investigate it. Let's go to the substance, Barkha. Let's not talk politics. It's an FIR. Just consider. You have rightly said, I've got the judgments here. Overt acts where there is a clear likelihood of public disorder or incitement. And one more minute. Very striking, Barkha. Yeah. Let me read to you the words of Kedarnath Singh, 62. The words used then, which were held not to be seditious, are, today the dogs of the CID are loitering around Barauni. Many official dogs are sitting even in this meeting. Today these Congress gundas are sitting on the gaddi due to the mistake of the people. These official dogs will also be liquidated along with these Congress gundas. Number two, in Balwant Singh, Khalistan Zindabad, Raj Karega Khalsa, Hinduon pe Punjab chhod karke jayenge, etc. All this sedition rejected. In Bilal Kalu, a Muslim militant outfit, making very strong speeches but with no incitement to violence, held not sedition. We tend to forget that we actually a much better way of embarrassing them. They would be embarrassed straight away there in the seminar. People raising Azadi slogans, who is going to look at them there? They can be deeply embarrassed. But don't make them martyrs out of this chest-thumping complaints by a few misguided youth, be they belong to the RSS or to the VHP or to the Bajrang Dal.
Let me just get Nalin to come in briefly there.
You know, Barkha, I have
Let me get Nalin briefly.
Yeah, very briefly.
Yeah,
very
Nalin,
briefly.
Do you agree with the ABBP complaint or not?
Who am I to agree?
As a BJP representative.
Hold on, I'm not their advocate. I'm not their advocate in this country.
Leader,
as much as free speech and constitutional rights as I have, you have,
leader.
Dr. Singhvi has, or the ABBP. Each one is entitled to exercise their constitutional rights.
No,
so it's okay. So the point I want to finish here is two. One is Dr. Singhvi has elegantly told us about the law on sedition. But I mean, I find it a little amusing that as if it's almost being pointed as if we are responsible for it. As you rightly pointed out, the police there of a Congress government felt that there may be a matter there that they wanted to. It's an FIR. Let's see what happens. This is not a debate on sedition. Anyone who goes ahead and does something which is not in conformity with the law, and it'll be upheld by the courts.
Yeah.
Are we believing that our courts don't adjudicate correctly?
Barkha,
so
I wanted to say something.
It is also extremely doubtful whether you can have a blanket charge of sedition against an organization or institution at all.
No, that's
I can understand that you as a member of organization X or me as a member of organization Y may have transgressed some boundary.
I need to move on.
A whole institution, amnesty by itself can't be seditious, a whole organization.
Okay, no, now amnesty is under probe. Okay, Shaila, go ahead.
I must congratulate Nalinji for the remarkable simplification of the whole issue. But the bad news is that this is not that simple. The issue is not who is saying what or who is uttering what. The issue is, you know, what is the identity of the person who is uttering that? First of all, I mean, if I quote a few examples, just give me the liberty. Narendra Modi himself said that Baniya jo hai, wo soldier se zyada risk leta hai. And had it been someone else saying this, had it been ABCD person saying this from a left party, say a Dalit, say a Muslim, they would have been booked for sedition by now. ABBP itself, they called on Independence Day in JNU, they called the singer Abhijit, who has been on record, you know, on record he has said, "Arey kahan ka independence sala? Ye to ghatiya country hai, ye to third class country hai." Is type ke comments jo hai. And then he makes a mockery of it and says, "Mera Bharat, acha chalo theek hai, mahan hai, ha ha ha." He goes on. And this is a person who ABBP called to JNU on Independence Day. Now, here is the hypocrisy. This is not a simple legal affair. This is being used as a chilling, to create a chilling effect. What ABBP and other allied organizations, RSS, BJP, etc., what they are trying to do is they are trying to sanitize the Indian mainland of any discussion on Kashmir. What is happening in Kashmir right now, it should force everyone to get up and take notice. And on the contrary, what we are trying to do is sanitize the whole country of any discussion on Kashmir. Now, this is not isolated.
So you do see it linked. So you do see it linked, Shaila. Shaila, you see it linked. You see it as linked.
Yes, of course it is. And ABVP uses pressure tactics to file an FIR. I mean, every other day, ISA activists are beaten up in... Today, even, you know, today, ABVP activists, they have beaten up people who were on hunger strike in the law faculty against seat cut in law faculty. We could not get an FIR registered. The other day, they some weeks back, beat up a guy so much he had to...
One minute.
So Nalin,
I know you want to come in there. I know everyone
things,
wants to come
you know?
In. Okay, Shaila, let me get in Vrinda, Sushil, Pandit and the others. One second, everybody hang on, guys.
Just two comments.
Okay, now...
Very briefly.
Okay, Nalin, one comment, then Vrinda, I do have to go to the others. Please.
Okay. You know, I mean, I do understand that the ABVP is not a democratic organization that promotes Naxalism or anything that the left or the ultra-left or the extreme left would like to. So our standards of what we call democracy are slightly different. And just a sentence out of the Economist article, which said that another former senior Amnesty figure a few years ago had said that CAGES, which is CAGES, an organization that promoted Jihadi John, promotion of defensive jihad is not antithetical to human rights.
Okay, now I will get Biraj, who's the Amnesty representative, to come in on that. But first, Vrinda and Sushil, Pandit and Vikram, on whether we see this as connected. To me, sitting here in Kashmir, the slogan debate seems entirely irrelevant. Nalin says don't connect it. Vrinda, how do you see this?
Varka, I think they're deeply connected. And the reason why I think they're connected is because what is happening in Kashmir now for many days, after all, as you have repeatedly said, not only today but even earlier, is that we need more political engagement. How does political engagement happen in a democracy? It happens through people forming opinion, people talking about it, people sharing facts, people hearing each other, people understanding what is the other person suffering, feeling. And to my mind, that, and I'm only speaking on the basis of media reports, there are two detailed reports about what transpired over there, and I speak on the basis of that, that this was an event to talk about what is happening in Kashmir. Yes, there are different constituencies. Yes, there are different groups which have their own very valid, legitimate set of sufferings. And therefore, this conversation is important. What is happening in Bangalore, and I think it's totally unnecessary to start demonizing Amnesty in the middle of it. Just to point out to Mr. Nalin Kohli, that the objection to that particular association of Amnesty International was raised by some of us. I was one of the signatories, and it was by an Amnesty person who is of Indian origin who actually raised the alarm on it.
Geeta Sehgal.
So let's not try and use this occasion to demonize Amnesty on a different fact and derail the whole question. So what we are saying over here, to my mind, is that the and secondly, coming on the legal aspect of it, it's interesting, both the earlier two senior lawyers have said that, you know, this is about an FIR, it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. This is the way people's lives, particularly people who are in public life, people who are talking, who are dissenting, people who are raising issues and questions. We have seen this happen in Kudakulam.
Yeah.
We have seen this happen to Binayak Sen. And here again, this is the chilling effect to democracy. This is about throttling freedom of speech and expression.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I come in?
Nalin, before you all come in, before I come back to all of you, Sushil, Pandit, Vikram Sampath and Biraj, who haven't spoken, Sushil, go ahead.
Yes, Barkha, if the question remains the same, and I would also agree with Vrinda that they are connected issues, but connected differently. When you saw things erupting in Hyderabad first, where they were eulogizing Yaqub Memon or Afzal Guru, and then you saw the reverberations of the same in JNU, followed by Jadhavpur, there was an unmistakable connection. The slogans were the same. The
What's
arguments
the
were the same.
What's the connection?
This is all,
the connection,
what, fairy tale
yes, the people
stuff.
Who were doing this had organizational links, had ideological links. Their vocabulary was same. Their modus operandi was same. So this how is... can you be blind to this connection? Their presentation of issues was the same. And it is going on for the past several months. So you have to be monumentally blind not to see a connection. And to dismiss conversation,
Barkha,
let me finish my point.
Yes, yeah.
To dismiss it as a mere conversation will be a travesty. How can this be, this kind of conversation carry on where you bring the very nationhood of India into question, where you emphasize of its breakup.
Can I come in,
where
Barkha?
You call
Barkha, can I come in now?
The Hindu Mahasabha is building
temples. Can I come in now?
Barkha, can I come in? I have not finished. I may be close to the bone.
1 minute, Sushil.
Yes.
Sushil, one minute. Let me explain to you what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say, sitting here in the Kashmir Valley, as you know, I report from here on the ground repeatedly, is that if we are going to be terrified of slogans, how are we going to resolve and address what
is, without the Pakistan dimension, a separatist
sentiment on the ground?
There is a separatist sentiment here.
We need to engage with it to resolve it, right? There is Pakistan. Let's shelve that. Let the Indian state and the military deal with that. There is a separatist sentiment here. I want to get Vikram and Biraj. I'll come back to you, Sushil. Vikram, you're a Bangalore resident. How do you see
this? Let me finish that point, Barkha. In terms of the connection.
Okay, Sushil, finish that sentence, then Vikram. Okay, finish that point, Sushil, then Vikram.
You see, there is a separatist sentiment. And that sentiment has been given a steroid shot by events like these. Because then you are willing to give them a semblance of a chance, saying if they push little harder, India is willing, India is indifferent. There are such echoes happening from all over. And it is just a matter of another push and a matter of little more time. This kind of dangling of carrot to the separatists in Kashmir, to the separatist sentiment in Kashmir, has actually worsened the situation.
Sushil, what are you going to do? Are you going to arrest and book half the Kashmir Valley for sedition?
Barkha,
I'm requesting everyone who's spoken to let the people who haven't spoken speak. Vikram and Biraj. Vikram first, then Biraj. Vikram, go ahead.
Barkha, I think you flagged the issue very rightly right at the beginning, where you said it's ironical that on the one hand, for 39 days, the strife is going on unending. It's our brave army jawans and civilians who are caught in this crossfire. And here we are sitting talking about something else. I would like to flag off two important issues to all these dubious NGOs and all the various student politics. I wouldn't care any less about any of them. My issue is this. Dissent is the cornerstone of a vibrant democracy like India. But the two questions we need to ask is dissent permissible to such a level that people swear to break the very nation that gives them that right to dissent, or to also to battle till the time the nation is disembered, like what happened in the JNU case? And also, is dissent bigger than the nation? So that's my first question. The second question is, can one take the cover of constitutional provisions to swear to, again, break the very nation run by the very same constitution? On the one hand, you speak of the nation breaking to pieces, and then you're also invoking the same constitution from where all these rights flow. So I really don't understand. Okay. So while the right to criticize the government, the prime minister, his policies is valid, it must be safeguarded, it must be encouraged, I think the constitutional morality must stop somewhere, and particularly at a time
like this,
we are at war. It is a war-like situation.
Barkha, I waited patiently.
Okay, Biraj.
Yes.
Biraj, go ahead.
Yeah, I waited patiently for everybody to make their point. Let's focus on what happened in Bangalore. What was that event about? The event was the release of a report, and families of people who've been killed in encounters with security forces or have disappeared without trace, sharing their stories of grief, including Shahzad Ahmed Khan's family, who was killed in the Machil for a false encounter case, where 6 army personnel have been court-martialed and punished.
Yeah.
And a representative of the Kashmiri Pandit community was also invited, because after all, you and I may not understand this, but I think every Pandit in the valley and every Muslim family in the valley, they understand the meaning of grief, because that is a part of Kashmir. They share each other's grief in a way that we as outsiders cannot. They grieve the dying child, whether killed by a bullet of a security force or somebody who's killed by a militant. I think let's be very clear about that. Now, when this dialogue was happening, it's moderated by a very respected journalist, Seema Mustafa, who's also a daughter of the army. Her father was in the army. You have Mr. Mattu speaking right at the end, and then there's some music happening. The police permission has been sought. The police are video recording the event. Amnesty is video recording the event. In the end, there is some shouting from the audience by the people from the ABVP and others, and there are counter slogans. Now, how on earth this constitutes a case of sedition against an organizer who's organized this event is, you know, it's completely out of. Now, number two, the point I want to make is,
I just want to,
Barkha, yeah. Amnesty does not have a position on self-determination, not in Kashmir, not anywhere. Amnesty does not take a position on individual cases of self-determination. It does not have a position on self-determination in Kashmir. So there's no question about anything seditious happening. And if we are, now to answer Vikram's question,
okay,
you know, if we are going to live in a democracy, we have to live by the constitutional freedoms that are guaranteed to us. They are not conditional. They are subject to interpretation by the Supreme Court. Both Nalin, who's a lawyer, and Abhishek have laid down the law. So,
no, Barkha, there's one thing that I want to add here. There's one very little thing that I want to add here. You know what happens is there are people of the Hindu Mahasabha who are building temples of Godse, and I haven't seen a single sedition case against them. RSS recently, they held a seminar on Kashmir in JNU, which was clandestinely shifted to IIMC, in which they invited Indresh Kumar, who is an accused in the in the Ajmer blasts and the some of the blasts. He's an accused in those blasts. And, you know, he's an accused in the Samjhota
Blasts. He was not eventually named as an accused. Just to clarify,
in the Ajmer blasts also,
on a legal point,
he was not eventually named
as an accused in the charge sheet.
No, but these connections.
But the larger point.
Barkha, what Nalin does here is he draws a connection between amnesty and something jihadi. I mean, we can also draw those connections. They are very innocent.
I plead guilty on one thing. I do feel guilty.
The issue is, Barkha, everyone is entitled to talk about Kashmir, but not Kashmir.
Shaila, hang on. Nalin, one sentence, then Vikram, then Zinda. Nalin, go ahead.
Miss Shaila is entitled to a strong viewpoint, but she need not become personal with me. And I don't think she holds any brief to be able to comment on what I have seen in life or I have not.
Okay.
I've seen a lot more. I've even met terrorists who had carried revolts. I've seen what peace talks are. And I don't need an education from someone in a...
I don't need education from
a young lady who's entitled to her views.
I'm
entitled to my views. Thank you very much to that.
Now
my true comments. My true comments beyond the personal.
I am going to Vikram, then Abhishek Singhvi, and then
Vrinda. Yes, I know Dr. Singhvi, but I have not made a substantive point. I want to come to a substantive point. Just a second, Sushil, may I request? I have a substantive point to make, which is very simple. Anyone who breaks the law, I mean you, me, anyone, Hindu, Mahasabha, X, Y, Z, anything. Does it matter? The person who breaks the law is going to face the consequences of it. Why is this whole belief that it's not going to be done like this? I don't understand where this argument is coming from. And I'm not making a simplified case. I know what I'm saying is inconvenient to what Shaila ji would like to hear. But if it is inconvenient to her, good luck to her. I mean, I'm not going to be sitting here to make a script that Shaila would like me to bring it.
On a lighter note, I think this is sounding like one of your rival channels. But then, nonetheless, I really don't understand why one cannot question, you know, the legitimacy of the Amnesty International. I mean, what is wrong? It's not some jihadi, you know, elements. They were, right from 2010, there have been a lot of protests internationally about the kind of elements that the Amnesty International has been involved with. And so much for freedom of expression.
Okay.
When Geeta Sehgal makes her case in 2010, she sacked from the organization. And she said, in the context of the Amnesty International's association with Muazzam Beg, who was a known British Pakistani jihadi who had you know, links with almost every country in terrorist training camps.
But the debate is not about amnesty for me. For me, the debate is not amnesty specific. The debate is not amnesty specific, Vikram. The debate is a larger debate about this country.
No, no, here. Of course, but then it is also the Amnesty International has positioned itself as one of the protagonists. And I'd just like to say
okay,
one
let's get Abhishek.
What Sehgal had said about
okay.
the association
can I,
with
Barkha,
can I just come in?
Can I come in here?
Yes, I'm going to have to start bringing
down
mics now.
Values
okay.
of tolerance, especially towards women, and Sheila is sitting there talking of feminist ideologies. So
Barkha,
it's
can I come in?
Okay, now can I go to the others? Abhishek and then Vrinda. Abhishek, Vrinda, then Sushil. Abhishek, go ahead.
Well, Barkha, clearly free speech has free speech and expression has been a casualty for the last 15 minutes in your channel. Quay those who don't believe in interrupting and speaking simultaneously. And I think knowing your aversion to the what happens on your
yes.
other friendly channel, I think you should do everything possible to avert a repetition of what happened in the last 15 minutes.
I couldn't agree more.
Despite the audio being perfect.
I couldn't agree more. Make your point.
I think we have expanded the debate so much to make our respective points that the core of the debate is missed. We start off with rhetorical self-questions. When people are making statements to break the country, when they're attacking the country. But that's begging the question, Barkha. Just tell me, just duplicate the factual situation of what happened at this seminar. Just replay it. It's there in all the videos and sites, etc. Will you try and stop this kind of belligerence or ego fighting between two groups at a seminar by sedition? How many times will you file sedition charges? You'll have to file sedition charges
yeah.
almost every day, 5 times a day, 10 times a day, all over the country. You just, so you,
oh,
know, you
and
can't
Kashmir,
apply the sedition
in Kashmir
concept
where
by
I'm
arguing
sitting,
your debate.
You can't even begin engagement
how we are breaking
if you're
the country,
scared of slogans.
How we are doing this. No, forget that. I'm saying
yeah.
you can
you know,
have
Abhishek,
something else. You can, I'm not saying you agree with them. You can control them. You can shout at them. You can scold them. You can say that you are doing
I'm
other unruly behavior.
Agree
but
with
sedition,
them.
For God's sake, sedition
yeah.
is something else.
Okay.
I think we're missing that
okay,
point.
Okay, Vrinda. Vrinda,
can
Vrinda
I
now.
Here?
I agree.
Last
yes,
thing, one
Vrinda,
last thing. This point about the institution who has organized the seminar or is
yeah.
a co-participant, Amnesty, how can you have a whole blanket thing against the association itself or an organization? It can
okay,
be Mr.
Now,
ABC
now,
or anybody
just come
else
here,
in the audience. It can't
yes.
be
let Vrinda speak.
I want to
let Vrinda speak.
I want to make a couple of very quick points.
Yes, Vrinda.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
I just want to make a couple of quick points. I think it is time for the sedition provision from the Indian Penal Code to be repealed. The Supreme Court in the Kedarnath Singh and other judgments that have already been referred to in this show narrowed and tailored it down, hoping that that is the way it would be interpreted, not only by the courts, but also by the policeman and by everybody else. That is not happening. Recently, we know that in Chhattisgarh, one Kashmiri man has been booked for sedition for liking a Facebook post which is said to be anti-India.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Facebook post is. How the point that the Kedarnath Singh judgment and subsequent pronouncements made was the link with violence, the incitement to public disorder. Clearly, this is a provision which, like in the British colonial rule, is being used to suppress people from expressing views which others, particularly those
okay.
sitting in power, think should not be voiced. There is no way that
oh,
the
Barkha,
pronouncements
can I just come in
are followed. This provision, can I finish, please? Can you please wait? Can you learn to wait to listen to somebody else without expressing your opinion? I have waited patiently for others. This provision will need to be repealed. Just like we believe in freedom of speech and expression for Section 66A. The second point I want to make is that just as in the JNU incident, the entire JNU university was sought to be maligned and demonized for the kind of debates and intellectual debates that it stood for, or dissenting debates that it stood for. Now, are we going to use this opportunity, and we're already hearing on this panel, to demonize Amnesty? I want to repeat here. Amnesty International's association
okay.
with jihadists was objected to by Geeta Sehgal, and many of us objected and wrote publicly about it. So please do not come up now, those of you who remain silent and have nothing to do with human rights. Is dissent bigger than the nation?
Okay.
The citizens' rights are bigger than everything. These do not, we took the constitution
okay.
to ourselves.
These are not gifted to us by the state.
Barkha, if I can come
let
in
me,
here for
let
a minute.
Let me now go to Sushil.
You know, now,
one
now
minute,
since you are,
Vikram, one
Barkha,
minute.
Just one second.
One minute. I don't know who's... One
it's
minute, Viraj.
Here, Barkha.
Okay, Viraj, one second,
yeah,
then
just
Sushil,
one second.
Then
I just
Vikram.
Want to say
okay,
two
Viraj,
things.
Go ahead.
That
yeah.
For those yeah. who want to go back to history, I would like to... I mean, I know that the BJP generally has an aversion to historical facts, but please
what?
Read what Mr. L.K. Advani has said about amnesty. It's a long quote. I don't want to read it here. When he was a prisoner of conscience during the emergency, the support that he accorded to amnesty
yes,
subsequently. Number one. Number two, you know, this whole issue is being turned as something that an organization has done wrong. Now look, if in a country we are so afraid of having a debate and getting people to share their grief on a collective platform, be it pundits or be it Muslims, and if our democracy is going to be riven apart by a debate, then we really have to ask what this democracy is really worth about.
Okay. I've got only a couple of minutes left. I'll allow Sushil to make a closing remark. Then we'll go to Vikram and then we'll take closing remarks from everybody. Sushil, go ahead.
Thanks, Barkha. Yes, I grew up during the Cold War era and I grew up admiring Amnesty International for fighting the cause of prisoners of conscience. But that gave me hope. Hope that the problems of genocide victims from Kashmir Valley would be taken up by Amnesty. Till date, in last 27 years, I have dealt with Mukul Sharma, who headed Amnesty, and then followed by Christine Mehta, and now somebody else, Akar Patel. Not one report
yes.
on our genocide in the last 27 years. So they cannot distance themselves and treat themselves as non-partisan, balanced organization.
Okay.
Of
they
course,
have,
I mean,
of course not.
Okay.
Issue after issue, they have exposed themselves in
okay,
terms
I
of their leanings,
on.
In terms of their biases.
Barkha, the PDP chief minister
Sushil,
and the PDP spokesperson not only welcomed this report of Amnesty International, which just documents violations which are admitted to in many cases by the Supreme Court, they even hailed the report and asked for the repeal of AFSA.
Okay,
PDP accepting the report actually proves
Vikram.
My point. Of
okay,
course,
Sushil, you've made your point. Now, Vikram. Vikram, you said, is dissent bigger than the country?
Yeah,
my question to you is, with the Nagas, I have a question for you, Vikram. With the Nagas, our government, our Prime Minister, and I know Nalin will want to come in on this, negotiated a peace accord. The Nagas say they still believe in their sovereignty, they want their own flag and they want their own passport. We don't book Mr. Muiva for sedition, Vikram. We, in fact, have the Prime Minister shaking hands with him and signing a peace accord. Do we not need that in Kashmir instead of getting scared of slogans, Vikram?
Barkha, I don't know what track two diplomacy is going on in Kashmir with the separatists. I think that's for Nalin to answer. But I think in the course of this debate, three issues just got intertwined with each other. One is, of course, the most important subject of the debate, which you said rightly, which is the strife in the valley, the civilians and the army jawans who are caught in the crossfire. The second is, of course, the issue of sedition.
Yeah.
And our champion of human rights, Vrinda Grover, rightly said these are antiquarian laws. Of course, they are Victorian laws, which are really old, as are Section 377 and a host of others. We need
okay.
to repeal them. And I think the law, that's
yeah.
a totally different debate. So as long as the law
okay.
is there
All
in
right.
the statute books, I think governments will use and abuse them. The third issue is of Amnesty International.
I want to
know
now.
Passed. Which
yeah.
I think is equally important to showcase here.
Okay, now before Nalin takes the last word, Shehla, a quick last word on why you think what happened in Bangalore and what's happening in Kashmir are connected. 30 seconds and then Nalin gets the last word.
I mean, the issue is that any discussion on Kashmir is stifled and that is really pushing the people far, far, far away. And the BJP alone doesn't have the distinction of doing this. The Congress has done it since 1953. And that is why Kashmir today is on a downward slope. We believe it's an important
okay.
issue and it
okay.
should be talked about.
Now, Nalin, my last question to you. Help me here.
Oh,
Mr. Muiva, is he seditious? The Prime Minister called the peace accord with him historic. He continues to say the Nagas believe in their sovereignty. Is Mr. Muiva seditious? And if he is not seditious, why are separatists in Kashmir, whom your alliance with the PDP commits to a dialogue with, you know, your party is in alliance with the PDP and you have committed to a dialogue with all stakeholders, including the separatist Huriyat Conference. So why is your party making so much then of pro-Azadi slogans in Bangalore? Nalin.
Well, my party hasn't yet in that sense. They've raised it with regard to the ABVP being there and not. I read a news report that said they were outside the event. So I don't know because I was not there. Now, with regard to three, I think anyone, and Brindaji, when she was pointing out, human rights is an important thing. Anyone who fights for it, it's a brave fight. Amnesty has done some remarkable work.
But you haven't answered my question.
I'm coming to that. Because these are just three, four quick comments I wanted to make. But these are challenges that will come up before the court. Some of them will meet their day. Some of them will be accepted. We can't say. Now coming to your question on Mr. Muiva or the Naga peace accord. Anyone, within the framework of the Indian Constitution, anything is possible. Nothing is possible within outside the framework of the Indian Constitution. How did we have a peace accord? Yes, I'm saying, why are you going as far as the Nagas? I'll tell you, because this is something me and my family have been involved in. What about the Mizoram peace accord? That was insurgency against the union.
So
it is 100% peace accord
that
every man, every bullet came over ground.
If we're scared
so
of
this
slogans.
Country has within it the capability to do so. What we need to understand is, where does it begin? The beginning has to be within the framework of the Indian Constitution. It can't be extra beyond the framework. So if you say, let us talk because we want to be Azad,
then
you can talk to those who feel so.
Well,
if the Indian Constitution
the BJP government
doesn't
permit it.
I have to end. I have to end. You're all speaking together. May I just say one thing? No, because if everybody will want one sentence, so I have to say thank you here, but I will say, as somebody sitting here in the valley.
You talked about slogans.
Vikram. Okay, one sentence. What's your one sentence?
Then
Brinda will also get one sentence. One sentence to both of you. Okay.
You talked about slogans and them not being important. But then it was just that one slogan of Vande Mataram which sparked our whole independence movement, right? I mean, slogans are important in mobilizing people
Brinda,
and their emotions.
Okay, Brinda, your one sentence.
If we are to see an end to the kind of violence that you began this show with, where army jawans are being killed, officers are being killed, and civilians are being killed in the Kashmir Valley, we must talk, we must hear each other. Law should not be used as an arsenal in the government's weapon here. We must talk of the most difficult things. That is the only way forward on the issue of Kashmir.
And democracy should not be used to subvert it from within.
And I will leave it there. But I will say to you that on the ground we need political engagement. And I wish the energy we expend fighting over what is a seditious slogan or not was transferred to an urgently needed political intervention in a valley where somebody with vision, wisdom and a healing touch and empathy and imagination needs to break the cycle of violence. After that, you can sit back and debate the sedition law. Leaving it there, thank you from Srinagar for watching. We'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m.